from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
It's a mindset. Can, when we put pads on, still play with a physicality and a personality, but still play with technique? And so that was the biggest thing, is the energy going to stay consistent, and can the technique stay where it needs to be?
It was a tough day of practice. It was a tough day of practice, but a good day of practice.
The Bills adding a safety, Kareem Jackson.
Jackson
signs a one-year deal with the Bills to help buffer the Mike Edwards injury.
Mike Danger.
Just been a joy, a treat to be able to watch these guys get after it every single day, and watching each position go through their own drill and their own paces before putting it all together on those 11-11 drills. It's been a lot of fun, and today's practice was no different.
Gene Battaglia.
I feel like we're part reporters here for the Bills, offering our opinions and what happened. I also feel like we're ambassadors for our hometown, right? We love Rochester. We want to show everything off, and we're certainly proud of the cuisine here.
It's garbage!
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
And with that, we're off. Welcome on in. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. We are back on the air at St. John Fisher University, live from Buffalo Bills training camp. Day 6 here at Bills camp, and plenty to get to this afternoon on the show.
What happens? As soon as the clock hits 3, all of a sudden the wind picks up here?
Wind picks up. We might be dodging some showers this afternoon. And if you were at camp earlier today, you know, and we'll get to this, heat was a factor at practice today.
Yeah, as we'll get to the top story here, as Alec Anderson, the Bills offensive lineman, team putting out a statement. He was taken to a local hospital, signs of heat exhaustion. He's expected to be released later today, but it's just kind of a reminder, hey, make sure you're doing what you need to do here, because Danger, we all kind of live through stories like Corey Stringer, and you'll see stories around the country, particularly when it comes to high school football. Just stay hydrated out there, and I don't know if that was the case today or not with Alec Anderson, but it sounds like everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, and luckily, you know, Alec Anderson plays for a team that has a medical staff that knows how to operate in high-pressure situations. They've proven their mettle, obviously, over the course of the last few years. So Alec Anderson, receiving treatment that he needs, and we hope the best for him. We have another injury to talk about from practice today, too. And we have a move that the Buffalo Bills made earlier this morning. So we'll get to all of that here, and we'll also set the table for you this afternoon, because we've got a stacked show for you later on this afternoon. Joining us from SiriusXM NFL Radio, our buddy Jim Miller makes his annual visit into the sports bar.
Jim Miller, who they were in New England yesterday. They're going to Detroit tonight. Like, literally, their flight is right before we get off the air, somewhere in the 5 o'clock hour. So we had the chance to catch up with Jim Miller, former Chicago Bears quarterback, now hosting the national radio show and SiriusXM, and just enjoy getting his perspective on what's been a year of change in Buffalo. We just have to acknowledge it. Sometimes we're so close to it, but somebody from the outside, hey, all these new pieces, you know, how does this look? How can this work here? We'll get the thoughts of Jim Miller coming up in the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we'll also be joined coming up here in about a half an hour or so. Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, The Shout Podcast, his weekly visit into the sports bar. We'll get his thoughts on camp up to this point.
Yeah, and he brought you a nice iced coffee there, too.
I'll be well caffeinated. Yeah. Let me tell you something, man. hydration and every, it's key on a day like today. Gotta have it. Got it. Yesterday, your boy was struggling. I was out there on the field for a good chunk of practice. It was hot yesterday, hotter today. And I overdid it yesterday with the hydration. I think I overdid it with the waters and the Gatorades to the point where I wasn't feeling good yesterday afternoon, man. I went home and cracked. Today, 100% better. Thanks to our boy Perino getting me in a little iced coffee, a little...
little spark there.
A little hydration, a little caffeine. Yeah, appreciate that. We got to get to the bottom of what I did to deserve that. But Matt Perino is going to stop by about a half an hour from now. We'll get his thoughts on Bills training camp. Not to bury the lead, we had the chance to talk to Buffalo Bills GM Brandon Bean earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, as the Bills made a roster move, as you mentioned this morning, in our conversation with Brandon, we're going to hit that right off the top there with Brandon, have some fun with him. And look, the cap this year, cap beyond, Hard Knocks, there's going to be a lot of different topics we're going to hit with the Bills GM, who every year, we're lucky that he gives us a few minutes to stop by here. So Brandon Bean, I think it's a fun conversation, it's informative, and hopefully you can carve out some time to listen to the Bills GM here.
Now, before we get to Brandon Bean, let's kind of quickly go through the headlines of the day. We mentioned Alec Anderson and the heat exhaustion in his trip to the hospital and getting the treatment he needs. We should mention that the Bills did this morning sign a veteran safety in Kareem Jackson, releasing linebacker Shane Simon in a corresponding move. So Jackson, 27, for the Buffalo Bills on the practice field today. And the timing of that is fortuitous when you consider that today another injury to the Buffalo Bills secondary. That would be Cole Bishop, who walked, had his arm wrapped up after practice today. An arm injury for Cole Bishop, injured during today's session. And we'll kind of keep tabs on what kind of recovery we're looking for here from Cole.
Yeah, I think going back to the Kareem Jackson signing, 15 years in this league, okay. This is somebody that has seen this, been there, done that. I would think that it won't take him that long, but what can he actually offer? Or are the Bills actually bringing him in to be more of a teacher at this point?
Well, I think at this point, the way safeties are falling during camp, you're going to need bodies at minimum. So Kareem Jackson can provide that for camp and maybe latch on with the Buffalo Bills. Mike Edwards still missing practice today with his hamstring injury. And now you have the Cole Bishop news. So back there you have Taylor Rapp. You now have Jackson. You certainly have DeMar Hamlin. So, it's getting a little bit thin there on the back end of the Bills' defense with some of these injuries piling up. An update from yesterday's injury, Ty Johnson, he was out of practice today. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. Chase Claypool also not on the field today, still dealing with his toe injury. And Mike Edwards remains in concussion protocol.
And, and just to kind of give you an idea, Danger and I, we're always talking about what we're seeing. We talk to other people. And first thing I told Danger this morning, because I put some thought into this, and look, Tyrell Shavers is a nice player, but I'm not buying into this that he was going to make the 53, all right? Sometimes players string together a couple nice practices. You have the nice quote from Sean McDermott, but Sean McDermott's talking about his consistency. Doesn't mean that he's going to make the team. And I walked into Danger this morning. I'm like, look, I don't want to be mean to Tyrell Shavers, but this happens every year. There's some Bills player that we're all going to latch onto and kind of cheer for, but when you get down to it, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has a bigger resume, and we're doing push comes to shove. Well, I'm sharing my thoughts before practice because, well, for Shavers, it wasn't a good afternoon or good morning. He dropped the pass, had another one that was contested, could have come down with. So Tyrell Shavers still has some work to do to make this 53.
We'll get to the comments made by Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, who spoke to the media before practice today. We'll get that to you here just under an hour from now. But I think it's interesting that he kind of views it as that there isn't really a depth chart right now at wide receiver, that everybody's kind of working through their paces, and it's an open competition to be wide receiver 1, 2, 3, 4. And there's no guarantee that they're going to take 6 when you consider last year they only carried 5. So if it now becomes standard for the Bills to carry 5 wide receivers, Shavers is a practice squad player. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you can get elevated a few times, or it's good to have somebody like that you have confidence in that, all right, we need somebody this week. Let's bring him up. He knows the offense. I think that would be ideal for Tyrell Shavers.
Somebody that showed stars shone bright today at practice, somebody that we were discussing yesterday with defensive end Greg Rousseau, wondering, how does Von Miller look? What is Von back to where he was last year? And Rousseau kind of said, yeah, Von is Von. He looks like old Von. And today at practice, Von looked like old Vaughn. He day off, Veterans Day of rest yesterday, and in third and long drills that were going on today at practice, Vaughn Miller, you know, absolutely saw plenty of reps and made his impact known. He got after Josh Allen what would have been a sack and pressured Josh Allen on another play, chasing him down from behind. So Vaughn Miller looked to be back in practice.
Well, and that's great. I want to go back to something that Peter King told us 2 years ago when Vaughn Miller first showed up on the scene, and this is before the ACL injury. And hey, look, those first eight games of Vaughn Miller was with the Bills that season, he was great. He was the Hall of Famer Vaughn. And what Peter King told us is like, look, you're winning big against the Jets or whoever. You don't need Vaughn Miller. You need to kind of manage the reps. I think that's where I'm at with Vaughn Miller. He's shown, even today, like, you don't need to see him in the preseason. I don't necessarily need to see him on every down. He's somebody, though, that I think if you bring along at the right pace, could be a difference maker. That's what you're hoping for when the games really matter in the postseason.
Absolutely. All right, so Brandon Bean stopped by the sports bar earlier this afternoon. And, man, you know, to get a few minutes with him, knowing how busy his schedule is, literally watching him miss a call while he was on with us. Like, Brandon Bean is always on the go.
Feel guilty for that.
A little bit, yeah. But he was very gracious with his time, as he is every year when we see him here at camp. So we wanted to get you that conversation with Brandon Bean from earlier today at Buffalo Bills training camp here on The Fan Rochester. Welcome back into the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us this afternoon. We are live from St. John Fisher University, Buffalo Bills training camp. Day six in the books, and our annual visit with Bills GM Brandon Bean. Hey, Brandon, welcome back.
Appreciate you guys. Always good to be back up here.
Yeah, we're going to start with the hard-hitting stuff.
All right.
Have you played Hoke Hill, and how did you do?
You know, I've played it a few times. I came up here twice before we got to camp because I wanted to make sure to get some rounds in, and then we snuck out on Saturday, the players' day off in the afternoon. So, like anything, it was fun. I left a few shots out there. The last round I had three putts on the first nine, so I kind of set myself back, but finished all right.
All right, good. I would love that you come to enjoy Oak Hill every year here, and it's become a tradition to have you here in the sports bar as well. Some news from today, Brandon, you signed Kareem Jackson, and the question I think a lot of people wonder when you see that signing at his age, how much gas do you think he has left in the tank?
Yeah, I mean, you look at his film last year, and I didn't see a guy that had, like, fell off the cliff. His age is surprising, you know, that man, this guy last year was 35 and still moving. He had a kind of a weird year. He got suspended for a couple of hits that they're trying to get out of the game, and we talked about it a little bit, and you know, I think he even went up to the league office and talked to those guys, and you know, they've said they're trying to put the onus, you've got to protect the offensive player. And you know, I looked at some of the hits, and he's trying to be physical. Not, you know, I think some of these defenders are worried about going too low and taking a knee out. And so it all made sense. But he's a guy that's very instinctive, a former corner. And the funny thing about his game is you don't see corners that move to safety be very physical. Usually that's their biggest issue. They got the range and the ball skill still. But this guy, he loves the contact, seeks, you know, he's a hitter. He'll have to get up to speed. He hasn't been in our defense, but he's a guy we looked at before when we had, you know, when we had some safety injuries in season, but we couldn't get Denver to move off the spot on him.
Yeah, so Brandon, an obvious follow-up because a fan favorite is still out there. You know, why bring in Jackson over Micah Hyde?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, right now, you know, we're just – you're always looking at everything, and we wouldn't hesitate to bring Micah back. It's just, you know, it's all timing, and those conversations remain open. So nothing that we've done or would do would ever keep us from bringing Micah back if it made sense for both sides.
You mentioned Jackson suspensions and the league office getting involved, and there's a couple of rule changes going into this year, and I wanted to get your perspective on it. One, we've talked a lot about the special teams and the new kickoff rules and everything. We get to see it at practice here at St. John Fisher, and it's a little bit jarring to the eye at first, because unless you were watching the XFL when that rule was there. The bigger one for me, I think that's going to be a little hard for officials. Talk a little bit about what the hip drop tackle rule is going to be like for teams this year in terms of, I mean, that feels like a rule that could be a little hard to officiate and could certainly swing the outcome of a game, being that it's a 15-yarder.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're – what our understanding is, and you're right, you watch plays, and I know even us going through them at league meetings, you know, if 10 people are looking at it, eight might say it's a hip drop, and two might not. And the league says that's not, and then the next one they say it is. So it is gray. They're trying to basically say if you latch onto a guy and unweight yourself and pull him backwards, or it's almost like an extension of the horse collar, just at a lower angle. So I don't think that they're going to, at least our understanding, year one, they do want to eliminate it. But I think they're going to more fine you after, you know, which they do on a lot of hits at the safety position. You know, when guys are defenseless, sometimes they're not called in the game, but a player might get a fine a week later or whatever it is. I think they're going to do that. I don't think you're really going to see, unless it's just egregious, I don't think you're going to see a flag at least this upcoming season.
Brandon Bean is our guest. Buffalo Bills off the field. The sixth practice in the books today. The future and right now for the cap. How does the cap look in 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously had we had to make some tough decisions coming into 2024. Fortunately, the cap did have a big spike this year, and we don't have the exact numbers for next year. We would love another big spike, you know, when you're trying to build it around a quarterback like Josh and some of the other pieces we've extended. But you know, I think it'll be a better outlook. We've found some younger players to fill some of these roles, and so younger is usually cheaper and more cost effective. And so we got to continue. As we move forward into 25 and 26, we got to hit on these draft picks. We've always said it. Not only do you want to draft and develop, it just they usually turn out to be the best fits. But from a cost control standpoint as well, so we're excited. You know, right now our college scouts have been in here. We're about to send them on the road and hadn't met with a lot of these guys this morning. And we're excited about the draft capital we have going into next year and the emphasis that I put on that we've got to hit another draft here.
Is that the biggest challenge when you carry the second most dead cap weight in the league is hitting on those draft picks? Explain the challenges of building a roster when you're that cap strapped.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's naturally the easiest thing is to see a guy in the NFL and watch him do his position, whatever it is, and say, oh, that translates to our team. The hardest scouting part of it is these guys are playing at all different levels in college. You know, whether they're playing at Troy or Taron Johnson at Weber State, you know, Josh Allen at Wyoming, or guys at Bama, Georgia, you know, that you always see in the Final Four or the championship games. And so you're trying to evaluate all those guys and then project, and some of these guys are 21, some are 23, some are 25. They're all different ages of where they're going to, you know, ascend into our league. And so that's why it's so important to hit these and continue to do that. And again, this year we were able to add some draft capital with the move with Steph, and then we made a move in the draft to get, I think, Chicago's fourth. So it's a very important if we want to be cap strong the best we can, knowing we have a franchise quarterback, that those costs we see are continuing to rise.
Brandon Bean is our guest. Talking about those picks later on, I mean, when you get a Christian Benford to pop like that, I would imagine you take great pride in that. And when we're looking at this year's class, is there a guy that you're particularly excited about, whether that's Cedric Van Pran Granger, maybe a third-rounder in Dwayne Carter? What are your thoughts on the later picks here from the 2024 class?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Dwayne's still learning this game and how we want to play versus at Duke, and it is a transition for him. And, you know, Ced Van Pran, a guy that, you know, first position would be center, but, you know, he's also getting reps at guard. But you're talking about a guy who was a three-time captain at Georgia and won multiple championships. So we're excited about these guys, and you know, you hope that you don't need them as much this year in year one to let them – you know, transition from the college game to the pros, but injuries happen, things happen. We're going to get them all ready to, you know, to play, and you know, injuries will force them their hand at some point. You hope it's spot duty versus having to run on an 8-game stretch. And again, the young tackles that we got late, those guys have done a good job. It's exciting to now see those guys in pads too.
How do you evaluate that, Brandon? And you and Sean, you know, you draft these guys with a purpose. You draft these guys because you believe that they're going to make the team better. But we've seen inconsistencies as far as how they get in. A guy like Trey White, day one starter, right? Dalton Kincaid took a few games, came on because of an injury to Dawson Knox last year, and we expect big things out of him this year. When you talk about a guy like Cole Bishop, you know, there's an injury and he's getting some reps with the first team. What's the evaluation when you determine how that rookie, when that rookie is ready to go? Is it in practice? Is it, you know, what you'll see in the preseason? What goes into that decision?
It's all of it, and it, you know, you're around them too. How confident are they? The maturity of them, and they, you know, it can be some guys walk in, and it is just like it's like they are still at, you know, Florida State or wherever they came from. They're playing at a level that you would expect, and some guys, it's a big transition, and sometimes just the transition of life of what is a professional athlete versus a college athlete and the expectations. And, you know, now they've got money. You know, now some of them are getting money in NIL now, so that they're used to that. But there's so many different things, and you can probably use it in any office. Some people are really good in college, but they're not great business workers, you know, right away. It takes them, a little bit to understand. And so you try to do it at the pace that they're going. Sometimes it's, you know, when this team in 2017, there was not a lot of depth. So you're dropping a Deion Dawkins in the lineup. You're dropping Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
As you build the roster and get more depth, it becomes harder and harder. And listen, as I said, coaches naturally want to see a guy that's done it and prove it. It's hard to stick a guy out there right away. I mean, I think even James Cook, it took him a little bit of time to build, you know, the confidence in James and make sure he's confident in doing his job.
Brandon Bean is our guest. Big story line from last week in the NFL. Tua Tagovailoa gets a deal. Jordan Love gets a deal. And when you're looking at the comparison, relatively speaking, I mean, Josh Allen provides you great value. Like, at what point do you sit down maybe with Josh's people and say, hey, you know what, we should take a look at this, maybe extending?
Yeah, we always look at that stuff and have open dialogue, with Josh and his reps. Great relationship, Patrick Collins, CAA, and all those guys. So we always have open dialogue. Whether these deals got done or not, where things are, where the market's going, and you do that at other positions too.
Back on the field through six practices, is there a player that stood out to you? Somebody that's turned your head, made your eyes go a little bit wide?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been some different guys. I mean, I think it's been good to see Vaughn. Vaughn's had a really good – we gave him an off day yesterday, and I thought you saw another level of twitch and explosiveness today on him. But, Terrell Bernard being back out there, he's made a lot of plays. Kyer has had a really good camp going into year three. You know, I think his confidence level is at an all-time high, and that's a position you got to be confident playing corner. A lot of the receivers, different guys, Curtis Samuels had, a day, Shakir, Keon's made some plays in the red zone. And so, 17, he's been pretty good too.
We were talking about this on the show yesterday. I guess it's a storyline every camp, every year, but where do you draw the line when it comes to, you want guys competing, but these skirmishes break out. So how do you kind of balance that?
Yeah, you want them competing, and you want guys pushing each other to the edge and trying not to cross it. Sometimes tempers are going to flare, and maybe you feel like you didn't see the film. You feel like a guy cheap shotted you, but maybe he got knocked into you, and that's like I'm gonna give him a little extra on the next play. And that's how you can sometimes. And just from my vantage point, I'm like, all right, I start watching these two because I can tell there's some jawing afterwards or somebody giving them a little bit extra, beyond the whistle. So you try to be ready. And, again, if you went through a whole camp and you didn't have some skirmishes, I'd be worried about, are these guys prepared and ready for battle?
Well, I was going to ask you, where's Sean with all of that? Because I have a feeling that Sean is a camaraderie guy, a team guy. You don't want to see a teammate go after another teammate. But in the same breath, he's also a guy that wants that level of compete, that intensity that comes with a practice. Where's he at with those skirmishes as they break out?
Yeah, I mean, same thing, guys. I mean, first off, don't injure a teammate. Like, let's be smart. Don't injure yourself. We've always heard these stories of a guy punching a guy with a helmet on, and you're not sensibly thinking when you do that. But, just being smart, make sure, we protect each other, and we're all trying to make each other better. But listen, these are brothers. I got two boys, and I can tell them over and over to not push the limit. But once in a while, one of them's going to push the limit, and they're competitive, and they're all fighting for jobs, and they are trying to make each other better. And listen, I know I can't yell too bad. We we've played basketball over here, so, you know, not this year, but some years, and we've almost gotten some skirmishes, you know, in the gym. So it happens. Like I said, it's a fine line. You want to make sure. The main thing is, if they do happen out there, when we walk off the field, we're all brothers. Nothing's carrying to the locker room or the cafeteria.
Brandon, we're watching the Hard Knock series with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and people that we've certainly followed. How do you manage this when they come knocking someday? Because I would think that's a little unnerving having a camera follow you around all the time.
Yeah, probably not something I'd be too thrilled about. it is what it is. I know it's the nature of our beast, and I get it. And if Mr. Pegula tells me, hey, you got to do it, you got to take one for the team, then I would do it. But it's definitely not something I'm going to be raising my arm for, hey, film us.
Video circulating yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, John Elway mentioning his biggest regret from his time as Broncos GM. Do you see this?
One of the guys sent it to me.
Yeah. Not drafting Josh Allen. So do you sleep easy at night knowing you got over on Elway?
I love John. John was always great to deal with. I got a lot of respect. Obviously, I was a kid watching him play.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was very surreal the first time I ever talked to John, just doing business with him and meeting him in person. He always treated me with just one of the nicest dudes. And listen, no one bats 1,000, and I understand his situation. They had just drafted Paxton Lynch. They signed Case Keenum and paid him, I think, $18 million a year or something. So I got it. I totally did. And Bradley Chubb, you know, was a premier rusher, and we're obviously very thankful that it worked out, you know, to our benefit. But a lot of respect for John, and you know what? A lot of people wouldn't have the gonads to say that, and I already had a high respect for John, even higher after hearing him say that.
Brandon, we love having you and the Buffalo Bills come to Rochester. So whatever you need while we're here, what do we have to do to make this a long-term relationship?
This is the insecure Rochesterians and us talking. We don't want Big Brother to pack up and leave. Don't leave us. Come to training camp every year. We know how much you guys say you love it, but we're going to remind you every year. Hey, man.
Anything you need.
Wait, listen, we do love it. We really do, and that's – you know, like anything, you got a head coach and a GM that both believe in it. Like, sometimes there's things that he sees one way, I see another, and then sometimes there's not. But this one we both see, you know, eye to eye that, you know, this is very important for us to get away, and it's a good bonding experience for our guys. And so I would expect us to continue.
Knowing how busy you are in your schedule every day here at training camp, Brandon, thank you for carving out some time for us here in the sports bar. We'll see you around, all right?
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
There he is, Brandon Bean, Bills GM, stopped by the sports bar earlier here, live from Buffalo Bills training camp at St. John Fisher University.
Yeah, as I think people are optimistic about Von Miller, I think the safety signing is a little curious. He's telling you everything you need to know about Micah Hyde, right?
That's it.
Yeah, that's.
I think that's it. I mean, you know, they have Micah Hyde on speed dial if they need him, but, well, they need him, and They didn't call him, but we'll dive a little bit more into that signing of Kareem Jackson, what it might mean. The secondary is a little banged up here. This training camp completes day 6. Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, the Shout Podcast, our regular every Tuesday here in the sports bar. Stopping by next live on the Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Offensive lineman Alec Anderson for the Buffalo Bills taken to a local hospital with signs of heat exhaustion. The Bills say he's expected to be released this afternoon. Safety Cole Bishop leaving practice early. He's got an arm injury. Deion Dawkins says Von Miller is back.
Von is Von. I don't know if y'all see what's going on, but they better watch out. 40's back. 40 is back. And 40 has his aura back. And Von is Von. And just let the story play.
Prior to practice, the Bills bringing in a veteran safety. Kareem Jackson has 15 years of experience in Houston and Denver to make room the team releasing linebacker Shane Simon. Matt Perino, the Shout Podcast, Syracuse Post Standard, joining us next year in the sports bar. United States women's gymnastics team winning the gold. We're live from St. John Fisher University. Gene Taglin, the Fan Rochester.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Our live coverage from Buffalo Bills training camp is brought to you by Ace Swim & Leisure, Chilai Avenue, Ridge Road, Webster, aceswim.com, and Maddie's Motorsports, locations in Farmington, Spencerport, and Dansville. Maddie's Motorsports. .com, Danger and Battaglia live in the sports bar and joined by our regular Tuesday afternoon guest to talk some Buffalo Bills from Syracuse.com and the Shout Podcast, our buddy Matt Perino, who is kind enough to bring me some extra caffeine today. Not like I normally need more caffeine, but it's a gesture that is appreciated by this broadcaster, my friend.
Listen, I know that the Buffalo Bills players and coaches aren't the only one out here in the summer sun grinding to the bone. And you are out here, both of you, just putting in the good work for the people of the 585, and I really appreciate that. So it was buy one, get one free day. I had an extra one, and I realized we're not here tomorrow. I don't have a refrigerator, so what am I going to do with this thing? I saw Gino walking by. I'm like, you're a danger. It's up for grabs. He's like, let me get this over to Mike. He'll never say no to a little caffeine.
Yeah, no. Not that I need to be more caffeinated, but the next hour and a half should be interesting.
No, but he wanted to know where it came from, like Perino. Okay, I can trust this here. So
hopefully. You didn't spit in it or anything.
It was for Gino, I'd be worried. But I got you, David. I got you, buddy.
Practice number 6 this morning, and one of the storylines, the safety position, Cole Bishop, I don't want to say going down, but not able to finish out practice. The Bills bringing in a safety in Kareem Jackson. What do you make here of what you've seen the guys so far? And Jackson, is he nothing more than a body, or is this kind of a wait-and-see here thing, man?
I mean, he started 8 games last year at 35, so he could still play. But I don't think that you're in a situation, if you're the Bills, bringing in a Kareem Jackson who obviously hasn't, you know, gotten a lot of lines that he's been kind of swimming around this offseason, to come in here first week of training camp. I think he's a guy that's a veteran. You probably bring him in here because, you know, maybe Cole Bishop can pick his brain a little bit, another vet in the room. I don't have high hopes for him, but I also think that this is –
we're kind of dancing around a dire situation at safety. Like, we don't know the severity of the Bishop injury. Josh Reed from Channel 4 reported that his arm was wrapped, so I think that's better than a leg injury. But if he can't go for a certain amount of time, now you're talking about when he gets back, how much is he delayed in, like, the reps that you need him to get if he really wants to take a run at this starting job. You know, you have Tyler Rapp. I've been saying that I think DeMar Hamlin's a real factor in this race. But beyond that, Dee Delaney, Kendall Williamson, you know, there's not a lot of depth. And I'm not just not ready to say that Kareem Jackson is a guy that you can even rely upon in a depth role if you need him to play an extended period of time.
Matt, when we talked to Brandon Bean earlier today, we asked him, because I think fans would be the first to ask the question, hey, for somebody who you claim is on speed dial, why didn't you call Micah Hyde in this situation?
I'm not surprised. I don't think Micah Hyde is on speed dial in July and August. I think that he's going to be in the Rolodex in November and December. Let's go back to last season, right? Every single week, we were on stinger neck watch with Micah Hyde. And if you bring him into training camp now, you get him ramped up now and expected to play now, can his body hold up through another 17-game season? I think that you call Micah Hyde if you need somebody that knows Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott better than almost anybody else to come in late in the season for a run.
Micah Hyde is the 2024 version of A.J. Klein, who retired today?
He is the golden version of A.J. Klein, okay? A.J. Klein was, at that point in his career, probably better served to go on that camping trip than him and his family packed for. But to his credit, he wanted to give whatever he had left to the team. And sometimes you got to save a guy from himself. I still might think Micah Hyde's got good football left in him, but it's not a lot of it. And so I think if you can, you know, maybe keep him close in terms of just maybe bringing him to talk to the team and, you know, say if we get to a good place and we can make a good run and we need a guy, whether it be via injury or guys not delivering, that's when I think you make the call. But I'm not surprised. I'm not shutting the door on Micah Hyde just because they're not bringing him in July.
We're talking to Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard Shout podcast. Another storyline. Good practice today for Von Miller, seeing him break through a couple times. So what is our level of optimism, knowing that this time of year, everybody looks great in the sunshine here and whatnot, but what are your thoughts here on Von Miller so far?
So I think that Von Miller's performance today, we just finished Shout, and we talked a pretty big amount about Von Miller. I think it's significant. I think it's to have a day where you come out and you finish the way that he finished. Now, he had a vet rest day yesterday, so I think that that might be part of it. But he's going to get vet rest days all season long, and if he comes out on a Sunday and delivers like he did today against a guy in Spencer Brown who might be a little bit behind. He missed a lot of the spring. Maybe he's working out a little bit of the rust. But Von Miller looked like Von Miller today. And Deion Dawkins said, you know, he sits next to him in the locker room, and you can start seeing the guy return. Like, it's such a mental game to go through what he went through last year, knowing that maybe he shouldn't have been out there, fighting through it, questioning if you can still do it, to go out there and do it against a young guy in a contract year just entering his prime, I think is a big moment for him. And it wasn't just one play. I had him in my notebook four or five times today where I thought that was a really good rep for a guy that didn't have many last year. So, you know, I also, you know, pair with that Brian Baldinger, who, you know, went out to Von Miller's camp and maybe heard a little bit of the sweet nothings that Von was whispering to him as they were looking at film. He put a couple clips out there of Von Miller late in last season, especially in the Chiefs game, where, all right, I'm starting to see some flashes of what Von Miller used to be. They don't need him to be 2022 Von. They need him to be some semblance of that. Greg Rousseau's got to be the guy that carries this thing. A.J. Epinesa's got to deliver. He's not getting paid like I think he was hoping to get paid on his next contract. He's got to earn it. Then you have a bunch of other guys, and we'll see what that ends up looking like. I think Dwayne Smoot has been actually a revelation. He's looked a lot better than I even expected him to, so I think that that's good. If Von Miller can be whatever it is, first off the bench or starting opposite of Rousseau and give you production, and what are we talking about here, guys? Is he going to be a 10-sack guy? If he's a 10-sack guy,
we'd sign up for that.
You're signed up for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, our guest here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Another injury that's kept a player off the field for the last couple of practices, a toe injury that has Chase Claypool on the sideline. An opportunity now for other guys to step up to that role. And I believe it was Joe Brady who was saying, it was this morning, I think, that there really isn't a depth chart right now, wide receiver, that they're kind of working through everybody. And we heard Tyrell Shaver's name come out of Sean McDermott's mouth with glowing praise afterwards. And we kind of watched Tyrell Shaver and wonder, like, okay, he might do all of the things that you're saying he's doing, but can he win you football games? Right. We don't know. I mean, talk a little bit about what you've seen here the last couple of days with Claypool on the sideline and guys stepping up into that role.
Yeah, so Shavers, I've been hesitant to jump head first into the deep end with him, like, only because there's been times over the last 2 years where I've had concerns about his hands, yeah, and consistency. So if you're talking about a guy that enters a situation where he's having a bigger role and he's seen targets, we'll see it in the preseason, we'll see how he holds up there. I just haven't been able to project that completely yet, but if you're talking about a guy that comes out here getting first-team reps and is he delivering, Shavers has done that. I mean, he's made a couple plays. He made one today where he got absolutely rocked by Damar Hamlin on the far right sideline there. Still made the play, still made the catch from Josh Allen, a first-team rep. Claypool's been disappointing. After a really nice spring, the injury aside, he hasn't really made a lot of noise with the opportunities that he's been given. And then it's just a collection of dudes, and I think on any given day, you know, Mac Hollins looks really good some days. Never really looks bad, but like we've seen him in the league for a couple years. The thing that collectively they have going for themselves is like none of them, the guys that have played here outside of MVS, when you talk about Mac Hollins, Curtis Samuel, have never played with a guy like Josh Allen. So like what could it be for them now in an offense like this? We've seen Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Is he a product of playing with great wide receiver or with great quarterbacks? It feels like that because he might be the most, and I don't want to use too harsh of a word, but unimpressive.
Underwhelming of
the wide receivers that have been here.
I agree.
Yeah. Or maybe we just have to kind of temper our expectations knowing that, all right, you didn't bring him in here. Like, as long as he shows up in the big games in January.
I think it's interesting, though, because the Bills don't seem like a team that's just going to sign somebody based on their name. Like, you have to earn it, right? And MVS is a name, but he's a name that I think most NFL fans would associate with, oh, he did something wrong, or he dropped that pass at a critical moment, or he was he didn't work in Green Bay. And like, I don't know that any of these guys are really, I mean, I think Samuel, yes. I think Coleman, obviously, yes. Shakir, for sure. They only carried 5 wide receivers last year.
Right.
So you've got a lot of guys fighting for 2, potentially 3 spots. And I don't think MVS is a lock.
No.
Is he a lock?
There's 4 locks right now, right? Keon, Mack, Samuel and Shakir. Those
even
are the
Mac
locks.
Though, and you're right. I know that
he's
guys
a lock, man.
I know, but I know that guys will say he hasn't had a quarterback. He had one good year, and that was with Carr. Other than that, he hasn't had a year where he's had over 20 receptions.
No, I agree with that. The thing is, it's like all the things that he does. Like he's going to probably be a captain. Like whether it be on offense or special teams, whatever it is, he's out there. If you watch the special teams period, doing every single phase. And in a year where they're losing their number one gunner in Saran Neal,
yeah,
Mac Hollins might be fitting into that role.
Sure.
So now you're going to ask him to do multiple things. So that's why I put him in the lock category. But you're right. I'm not sitting here saying he's a lock like he's going to be wide receiver 1 like he has been on a couple of, you know, drills in 11-on-11. I still think that Curtis Samuel ends up being the typical wide receiver 1 in terms of targets and production. I think it could be Shakir. Heck, it could be Coleman. If he hits the ground running and finds a consistent opportunity as offense. But in terms of MVS, he's the wild card for me because, I don't know, I think he carries a bit of swagger because of the way that Josh Allen views him, being with Pat Mahomes and with Aaron Rodgers. And then Sean McDermott, you know, guys that have won Super Bowls. Like, that gives Sean McDermott, like, some extra juice. So, I think that he's going to make it. Beyond that, if you're Tyrell Shavers and those 5 make it and they want to keep a 6th guy, how are you going to get on the field behind those guys, right? Like, are you going to push Mac Hollins at MVS? And then if that's the case, shouldn't you just keep Shavers over those guys because you're going to want him on the field ahead of them? Those are the interesting conversations that we're going to have over the next couple of weeks. And at this point, I think Chase Claypool's out. And I also think that, like, unless KJ Hamler can win the return job, he might be out too. And then you're talking about, like, are those practice squad guys, because nobody was signing Chase Claypool, and Mike's over there puffing his chest out. Like, let's go back to April when I was telling you about this Claypool guy.
Wow. Look, no, I mean, the guy's injured, and if he's injured, he can't get on the field. I also know that he's a guy that quit on his team, so I'm not enthusiastic about him.
I'm going to give you that dub if you were right. I'm going to give you that dub.
All right, look, I'm going to change the topic ever so slightly. We had a chance to talk to Jim Miller today. He, former NFL quarterback, coming through with his show on Sirius XM, and asking him just the basic question, hey, Diggs is out, you've got all these new pieces, what's the solution, how do you see Josh? And he brought up something, and this is a storyline from yesteryear, 12 personnel. The idea that, hey, you have two very good tight ends, and it got me thinking, like, wait a second, do we forget about Dawson Knox? Do we forget the mismatches? Matt, is that, because they're not going to show you, nor should they, exactly, here's what we're going to do week one against Arizona, but your thoughts on running the two tight ends there, is that something we could expect here?
Healthy Dawson Knox, to me, is a real weapon in this offense. Like, there's a reason they paid him $12 million, and sometimes we forget about that. Like, he was really injury-riddled last season. I think that was a big problem for him finding any consistency in the offense. More so than the 12. I do think they're going to be more 12 than they were last year. But I think the biggest mismatch the teams will face trying to contain the two of them is when you can, on a drive, throw out Dalton Kincaid for three plays in 11 and then come back with Dawson Knox in 11 as a completely different style of player. We saw it on that touchdown catch in the back of the end zone. He was ping-ponging around defenders back there, made a contested catch. Like, that's not really Dalton Kincaid's game. He could do it, but Dawson Knox is so much more physical. We forget the guy in that Cincinnati game his rookie year just driving, pile-driving guys at the end of his runs. Like, he can be that. Can he stay healthy? He's a real weapon, and I like the idea of maybe Dawson Knox being weapon number three in this offense if he can find that consistency, because the one year he had it when he stayed healthy, it's when he came back from an injury, and I think he finished the year with like 8 or 9 touchdowns, including the playoffs on an 11-game run there. That was, to me, what earned him that contract. And I think he could be that guy again, and I think he's one of the reasons they weren't more aggressive at wide receiver because of what he could be in the offense.
Matt, what are you seeing out of corner, and specifically Kyer Elam, who I think is, you know, what we hear is that he's in a good place mentally, that he's more confident than he's been in a long time. Are we seeing it on the field? Is it translating to any kind of plays during practice?
Did you guys listen to Deion Dawkins today?
We heard bits and pieces.
There was a little bit of a, I don't know if it was a slip, but when he was talking about, like, Kyer, because he's very close with him, they hang out, like, since his rookie year, so it was a good question, I can't remember who asked it, and he said, you know, Kyer's done a good job of eliminating the distractions outside the building and inside the building. And the immediate place I go to there is John Butler and the way that those two kind of clashed in his first 2 years. And I think that being out of the building, and I'm very fond of John. He's been on my podcast. It's just like they were just oil and water. For whatever reason, it didn't work. And I've told John this. Like, it's a bit unfair to the player, I think. Like, if you don't think that he works hard or you don't think that he can play the position the way that you want it to be played, I think as a coach, it's your job to coach the players that you have and find the way for them to fit in. Like, just because that they're not fitting the right way, try something else. Try everything to make it work for them, and they've done that. Like, Jameel Adai feels like more the Kyer Elam coach than he does the cornerbacks coach, because it seems like they're attached to the hip. Now, I see him with a bunch of guys, working with a bunch of guys. I'm not trying to put that out there. But I think Elam's been really good. I think he's been the most confident I've seen him since they drafted him. I think he's fighting. He had a rep the other day where Justin Shorter had a nice catch over the middle, and he ripped it out of his hands. He just big boyed him. Yeah. And, like, that's huge. Like, if he's going to start playing like that physical, we know the speed. I like that part of him. And then you have Jamarcus Ingram back there, who, to me, is the most underappreciated, under-talked-about guy on the defense. He's the reason they haven't gone out and brought in a vet. Like, look at that cornerback room. Beyond Benford and Douglas, it's Elam and Ingram, and the Bills are not blinking when it comes to bringing in a veteran at that position. I think it has a lot to do with those two guys and what they believe they can do.
Matt Perino, our guest here. So tomorrow off, Thursday back at it. Friday night, the blue and the red. So that scrimmage, what are some of the storylines going into this? What are we, and if we're heading out, what should fans be expecting there, Matt?
Yeah, that's always a fun one, getting a chance to see them, you know, just battle back and forth. I think some of the really fun battles on the offensive and defensive line. We've seen a couple of skirmishes. We saw one today with, I believe it was Javon Solomon, who had a really nice win against Tylan Grable, who's moving all over the place. The rookie, he's going to have those moments. But I think he ran into like Shane Bouchel's arm, and somebody took issue with it, and then you know everybody kind of came together, the congregation. So those kinds of things. Although I will say in previous years with the red and blue game, there tends to be not as much as that. It's more of like a celebration. So it's like, is it going to be a continuation of the camp that Josh Allen's had, which I think you can make an argument it's been the best training camp he's ever had. He's been as locked in, he's been as on point as I can remember him being. With this, you're going to get a chance to see all of these new weapons. You're going to probably see a heavy dose of Dalton Kincaid. And then, you know, the Von Miller storyline, you're going to continue to track that. How well does he produce? Matt Milano, where's he at in terms of his health? It's been kind of like a slow ramp up here. There's been moments where guys are making plays. I wrote it down in my notebook today, a Dalton Kincaid catch where I just thought there wasn't the contest there that you'd normally expect to see from a Matt Milano in coverage. Like, are you going to see him spike in the red and blue game? And, you know, some other things as well. This run game with Ty Johnson dealing with the hamstring injury, Ray Davis is looking the part. Is he going to continue that? Is he going to be that guy? So a lot of things that we're tracking, we're looking for, and how many safeties are they going to have healthy on Friday night?
Right. We'll be paying attention to that as well. We have one more practice here at St. John Fisher this week. That comes up on Thursday before that scrimmage. And, Matt, before we let you go, just an update here on the sports bar hair ranking that we have at training camp this year. Now, you're the defending champion. I think you're aware of this.
Okay.
A new contender has emerged. He's on the national beat, and I think he's on the national beat for a reason. And he shared some of his secrets with us last week when he was here. Evan Washburn has entered the chat. Now, I'm throwing it out there.
I got some thoughts.
I want you to share some thoughts. Because I got to tell you, given the heat and the humidity of the last 2 days, you wouldn't know it, man.
No.
It's immaculate,
no.
And I still think Matt Parrino is the guy.
I think as much as we like having that relationship with Evan Washburn, I think Evan has to earn it, just like you have to earn things with Sean McDermott. I don't think the outsider comes
Matt,
in and wins
Between you and I, this guy thinks that Sal Capaccio should have a ranking somewhere in there. And I'm saying you're only including Sal because he doesn't have hair like you. So let's keep this authentic.
If we're going to do like a goatee contest, we can get Sal off the desk right now.
Yeah, sure,
I mean, that guy,
yeah.
And he's got a little multicolor action going on.
Salt pepper.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Salt pepper, yeah.
He's distinguished. Anyway, Washburn. Don't know him personally, but my take on him is really immaculate hair on the sideline. I'm seeing him down there on the sidelines. It's a good look. My one problem is, though, it looks like a helmet. Like, he uses a lot of product.
We call it a gelmet.
A gelmet. Yeah. Okay, thank you. I also use a lot of product, but you'd never be able to tell, right? Like, you're looking at my hair right now. It looks formed, but it doesn't look like rock hard. Like, you can run your Gino's excited. Yeah. I ran my hair through my hand. Gino's like, here we go. Let's go. Party starting.
Well, if you want to see Matt Parrino and his fine hair, you are in town on Sunday. Not talking just about practice. Tell everybody about what you got going on Sunday afternoon.
Practice ends. We're heading over to Park Avenue, Dorado. My good buddy over there hosts us. What's going to become an annual thing here. Wing Nuts is bringing more wings this year because we ran out last year. They had to send some folks out to Wegmans to buy wings and come back. They're bringing all the wings. They will not run out there. They'll have a pop-up there in between the locations. We're just going to party on Park Avenue. We'll do a live shout. It's going to be awesome.
Quick story. Since we brought up Sal Capaccio, yesterday Sal and Bove did their thing over at Bar Bill. And Gino, being the kind Rochesterian that he is, said, Sal, do you need directions to Bar Bill East? It sounds like, yeah, I just put it in my phone. So
Matt, do you need directions to Park? Yeah?
Gene will loan you his TomTom if you don't know how to get to Dorado on Sunday.
TomTom Go, huh? That's a real throwback there.
Or you could just sketch the directions down in your Palm Pilot.
But Danger, the way Sal said it to me, he looked like, yeah, I just put it in my phone.
Here's
like,
the thing.
Oh.
I will take some directions. Can you get me the MapQuest printout?
Yeah.
Then I could just have the sheets of paper in my car.
That's
Remember
right.
We used to collect those?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great time.
Yeah.
Especially like if you're going cross country or something, it was like a book, like 150 pages of MapQuest directions, and my mom would yell at me because I would like use all the printer paper. It was a great time.
Come on, you guys don't use a Post-it note or anything?
Like honestly, I can do that, but don't you want to know where you're headed?
You put it in your phone.
I know.
What's wrong with you?
I want to visualize where I'm driving first.
I don't want to do that. Here's the thing. I don't know ever where I'm going without my navigation, so much so that I went with John Scott to Beauvais and Sal's event yesterday, and we were going to the Pittsford Dairy after. And from that bar bill, we got down on East, and I'm like following the navigation. He's like, dude, we're right, you know, we're right around the corner from the dairy. Like, you don't need that anymore. I'm like, you don't understand. I use this for everything. I don't look out there. I stay right here.
That's right.
The whole time.
That's right. Matt, thank you for the time.
Anytime.
Enjoy the rest of camp. We'll talk to you again next week. Matt Perino, Syracuse.com. The Shout Podcast, which will be live at Dorado on Park Avenue. That's coming up on Sunday for a live pod. We're going to take a break and come back. Happy hour coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll replay our conversation with Brandon Bean. And up next, we heard from Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady earlier today. If you missed that, we'll get you caught up here on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.